I think back of the church growing up. When I actually started listening to the messages, it was amazing to me how God knew so much of what was going on in my life. When I actually started listening, it was pretty amazing. I often thought, well, now who told that preacher what I was doing? Who told him? Somebody must have gave him some information. It just seemed like the way he talked, he followed me around all week. But you know what? He knows what kind of week you've had. And he wants to talk to you today. And he's going to let you know he knows what kind of week you've had. And you'll never be the same from this day forward. When you know, and you'll know when God speaks to you. Because he still speaks in a still small voice. From the oldest to the youngest, God has a message for you on how to go through your battles. How to go through them. We all go through battles and struggles in life. And he wants to help you with yours today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege and delight to share your word today. It's a real blessing. Thank you for allowing me to just be your spokesman. To just be your voice. What a privilege it is. And Lord, I want more than anything. I want you to speak to each and every one. That they'll truly know that you know about everything in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalms 18, verse 19. He delivered me because he delighted in me. David was looking back after so many great deliverances. He was rejoicing because the Lord had rescued him from his enemies. Saul had put a bounty on his head and chased him relentlessly. And David said of that dark time, "The sorrows of hell surrounded me. I lived in distress. Ungodly men made me afraid. They all hated me. But God came roaring out of the heavens to deliver." In verse 13, you can see it. He bowed the heavens and came down. The Lord also thundered in the heavens. He delivered me from my strong enemy. I heard a radio message this week. And the speaker, I don't remember what his name was. I just caught it. Just kind of going through the radio and caught this, and he said, "The Lord has a plan for your life, but the devil also has a plan for your life." Did you ever know what the devil's plan is? His plan is to kill and to destroy. That's his plan. But the Lord is greater than he. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And so the enemy had come in like a flood. And David was able to say, "God came roaring forth to pull me out of the swirling waters. He rescued me from all of my troubles." I believe the Holy Spirit gave David a revelation. And I believe that revelation is the key to all deliverances. David could say, "The reason that God delivered me from all of my enemies and from all of my sorrows is because I am precious to him. My God delights in me. He brought me forth into a large place and delivered me because he delighted in me." So I ask you this morning, do you need a deliverance in your life? From some lust, from some temptation, or from some trial, or some struggle that you're going through right now? Could be mental, could be spiritual. It could be emotional. It could be physical. Maybe you're struggling with some physical problems right now. But I can tell you the key to your victory is in this verse. God delights in you. You are precious to him. In the Song of Solomon, the Lord said of his bride, "How fair, how pleasant art thou, O love, for delights, Song of Solomon, chapter 7 and verse 6. There's three of the Hebrew words that's in this verse that means fair, it means pleasant, and it means delight. These words describe what Jesus had to say toward his bride as he beheld her. He looked at her and said, "How beautiful and sweet and delightful you are. You are precious to me, O love." And in turn, the bride boasted, "I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. He runs after me with delight. He chases me because I'm so precious to him." Do you remember chasing your date? Huh? Or don't you remember back that far when you chased after your date? Huh? Hello? These are the thoughts. You can find these thoughts throughout the Psalms. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Psalms 147, 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Psalms 149 and 4. You might say, "Preacher, you're trying to convince me of God's delight, that I'm precious?" And you might think that that's just sweet, and that's just really only a nice thought. But I can tell you it's more than a thought. It is a truth that is revealed in God's word. And I believe the very key to your deliverance is knowing this, that God delights in you. I believe it's a secret to entering into a rest that God has promised you. He has promised you a rest. And what rest, Pastor, are you talking about? I'm talking about the rest that when you get a bad report, you can still rest in God. You know that God still loves you. Irregardless of what the doctor might have told you, God loves you. You might have not gotten a very good report, but God loves you. He's with you. He loves you all the way. He delights in you. You are precious to him. You were created for his pleasure, as Debbie was referring to. It's a truth that we can see throughout the scriptures. We need to lay hold of it. It's a foundational truth that needs to be found in our heart. And we'll be able to withstand the trials of life if we understand this. The prophet Isaiah had a revelation of God's delight in us. He prophesied this, "O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. You see, Isaiah wasn't talking just about a literal flood and a fire. He was talking about a spiritual walk that we go through. The spiritual and mental problems that we encompass. Israel was in captivity at the time that this was written. Their floods were trials and their fires were temptations. Their rivers were testings. It was all Satan's attempt to try to destroy and overwhelm God's people. As I said before, his plan is to kill and to destroy. And so the prophet's words were a message of pure mercy to the Israelites. They were in captivity because of their own stupidity and because of their own foolishness is why they were there. Right now you might be in the midst of your own swirling waters. How about that? Do you feel overwhelmed by a trial or a temptation that's trying to consume you? The examples that we have this morning, we can see that the Lord does not always calm the waters. He doesn't always keep the floods from coming or putting out the fires. But what he does promise is that he will walk with you through all of it. He will walk with you through all of it. The trial or circumstance will not destroy you. It will not consume you. But you need to walk on. And you will come out on the other side with the Lord right next to your side. What about the three Hebrew children I want to call you to remembrance? When they were thrown into the fiery furnace, there was a fourth man that was there with them. Do you remember the story? They didn't get burned. In fact, their clothes and hair didn't even smell of smoke. That's the kind of deliverance I believe that God wants to bring in your valley. Have you increased your prayer time? Have you spent more hours in reading the scripture? Now, these are good things to do. But don't think that the more time you pray and the more time you spend in the scriptures is going to get you a special position with the Lord. The Lord loves you all, and we're told that God's no respecter of persons. I heard on the radio as well this week that the ground at the cross is level. Do you know what that means? It doesn't matter how rich you are or how poor you are, how educated you are or how not educated you are. The ground at the cross is level. We must all come to him the same way. The same way. God was saying to Israel, you're about to go through fires and floods, but don't you worry. I'm going to walk with you. I'll deliver you. Because you are mine. I know you by name, and you are a delight to my heart. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, for it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It wouldn't matter today if we lived to be 500 years old, you wouldn't live long enough to please God by the things you do. You see, that's by grace and grace alone. It doesn't matter how hard you may try to clean yourself up. Your flesh isn't accepted before God. You see, God did away with that flesh at the cross. And now we trust in Jesus Christ and him alone. Christ is the new man. He's the new inner man that we take. It's true faith in what he has done. You say, well, I can believe that God delights in faithful pastors, or I believe that elders as well, God would delight in. But I find it hard to believe that for me, who have been made lots of wrong decisions and have failed many times, how could somebody like me be precious to God? He must be disgusted with me because of my life. My life is so up and down. I've got problems I can't seem to get through. I believe he still loves me, but surely he must be disappointed in me. Does it sound like I'm talking to you today? Does it sound like you? It was because Israel's foolishness that they were in captivity. And yet, the message to them, with all their failures, was, I will be with you. And they still had hope because they belonged to him. They were his people. How many times have it happened to so many of us in our relationship with our Heavenly Father? At times the devil has convinced many that they've only disappointed God. You're a disappointment to God. You'll never please him. You'll never be accepted by his love. Instead, you find that you live a whole life of wrath. You believe that God's just breathing wrath down upon you. I know there were many times in my life I felt God was angry with me. But God really did love me. And in those times when I thought he was the angriest with me is the times when I felt he really loved me the most. Are you listening to me? He really did love me the most. And he was there. If you felt far away, guess who moved? You did. Perhaps, now I'm talking to you today. Maybe you was raised in a non-loving or an uncaring family. Maybe your mother or your father or maybe your siblings made you feel if you weren't worth anything. Maybe you never felt special or precious to anybody. No one ever put their arm around you and said, I love you and you're special to me. And I am so proud of you. I'll bet some of you have done that intentionally to your grandkids because you didn't want to be like your parents. Are you listening to me? How many children have grown up wanting to be special to their father or their mother? How many adults today struggle with perfectionism because they never felt precious or delightful to a parent? Through the years, I've heard some real sad childhood stories. Some told me their mother and father taunted them, yelling at them, you're good for nothing. You will never amount to anything the rest of your life. And they grew up feeling absolutely worthless, as if they meant nothing to anyone. And today our streets are filled with runaway children who have been robbed of all sense of worthiness. They feel special to no one. And so they give themselves to the first person on the street who makes them feel special. And they offer their bodies to pimps and lust-driven men. Anyone who will make them think they're worth something. Thank God for Jesus. To him, you have always been precious. And it doesn't matter what kind of home life you had or what your earthly parents were like. None of it can ever compare to the love of your Heavenly Father. From the day that you were born, you have been very, very special to him. The adulteress will hunt for the precious life, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 26. You see, the adulteress in this proverb is the devil. He hunts down those who are precious to God. We have a very vivid illustration in the book of Numbers, if you want to make a note of that, Numbers chapter 13 and 14. The story is Israel had sent out 12 spies to search out the promised land. When the spies returned after 40 days, 10 of them planted 3 lies in the hearts of God's people. The first lie, there are too many people in the land, and they're too strong for us. The second lie, the cities are walled too high. The strongholds are not able to be penetrated. And the third lie, there are giants in the land, and we're no match for them. We're helpless. We're as grasshoppers before them. Well, you know the story, the lies certainly affected God's people. The Bible says they spent a night in despair. In chapter 14 of verse 1 of Numbers, it says, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. We're talking over 2 million people weeping and wailing. They had walls of unbelief caused by these spies that brought back these lies. You see, the devil throws the same kind of lies at us today. Your trials are too numerous. Your temptations are too overwhelming. You are too weak to resist the power coming against you. And so I want you to take a good hard look at this illustration that we have. Do you see yourself in it? Have you ever spent a night of crying? I have. What caused it? Somebody say something very evil to you It was hard for you to forget what they said. Words cut like a knife. You ever spend a night crying? Have you ever cried out, "I've had it. I can't take any more. It's all over for me. I've lost the battle." But the word that God spoke to Israel is for you today. You are a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Exodus 19:5. Thou art a holy people to the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar and a special people unto himself. All the nations that are upon the earth. Deuteronomy 14:2. I'm sure Israel had felt precious and special to the Lord when he first saved them. When he delivered them out of the bondage of Egypt and opened the Red Sea and rescued them from Pharaoh's army, they must have surely said, "Look at these great miracles that God has performed. He must really love us." We say the same things. Soon after we get saved, "Truly God loves me, I feel so clean." But what happens after a few years? Happened as it did to those Israelites. It happens to us as well. All the problems and trials of life come upon us. We once thought we were so precious in God's eyes, certainly precious enough to be saved. But now after serving him these years, it seems like I'm only a grasshopper. You feel that way sometimes? All your problems are the giants, and you feel like grasshoppers? Obviously, you no longer sense God's delight in you. Have you lost focus of God's delight in you? Have you taken your eyes off Jesus? When he bid Peter, and Peter said, "Lord, if that's you, would you bid me to come out to you?" And he started to walk on water just as Jesus. And you know, he took his eyes off of him. He saw the winds and the waves and he sank. And he cried out, "Lord, help me." And the Lord reached down and picked him up. Well, thank the Lord for Joshua and Caleb. I'm almost finished. They were among those spies as well who were sent out. But unlike the others, they were full of hope. They didn't bemoan their condition. They rejoiced. They were full of faith and vision. You see, Joshua and Caleb had a revelation of how precious they were in God's eyes. They certainly knew that Israel was special to the Lord. Joshua said, "If the Lord," here it is, "delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us." Numbers chapter 14, verse 8. "Because he delights in us, the land is as good as ours already." It's the same revelation that David had. "He brought me out and delivered me because he delighted in me." And we as Christians today should have this same revelation in our Heavenly Father. We can't fail. We're more than grasshoppers. We are precious in his eyes. We see the mercy of God in these two men, Joshua and Caleb. Israel spent the night in wallowing in unbelief, weeping as though God had forsaken them. And then you read, they appointed a captain to lead them back to Egypt. Can you imagine? Chapter 14, you can read it, Numbers. They appointed a captain to lead them back to Egypt. But the Lord sent Joshua and Caleb. In spite of your confusion, in spite of your moaning and your complaining, Joshua and Caleb, let them realize that God delights in you. He will lead you forward. Fear not, for you are precious to him. And yet, they still complained. You can read it. God ran out of patience. He said, "How long will these people provoke me? How long will it be that they not believe me for all the signs which I've showed among them? Numbers 14, 11, and 12. But the Lord forgave Israel for Moses' sake, we read. They weren't permitted to enter the land. Instead, they had to wander some more in the wilderness, in a wilderness existence, a life given over to fear and destructive doubts. Had they realized how precious and special they were, I believe that more of them would have entered the promised land. You see, the only time God's patience runs out with us today is when we refuse again and again to accept how much he loves us. When we don't accept it, we make the cross of Christ of none effect. So they lost hope. They lost that rest. They lost that peace that only comes from accepting that we are special in God's eyes. They had no joy, no victory, had they only looked to him and seen how special they were. Thank God for Joshua and Caleb. They entered the promised land. And they stood as green trees in his house until the day that God called them home. They were men of power and vision because they knew that they were precious to God. You are also precious. In spite of the problems, in spite of the failures that you've been through, you can be a green tree in God's house, just as Joshua and Caleb. Stand on what God's word promises. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. You see, this is the foundation of true faith. Would you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pastor, you spoke to me today. I needed to hear that message. Slip your hand up. I needed to hear that. Hands are going up all over. I'm going to pray with you. All right, any more? Yes, yes, I see it. Go ahead and put it down. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message. It blessed my heart. And Lord, I know it was needed to be shared today with the hands that I've seen. Lord, I ask you to be with each and every one of these. I pray, Lord, that there is times that we've made mistakes. There's times we've made wrong decisions. There's times that we always seem to try to do everything ourselves when we should seek you first. Why is it that we always seem to seek you last when everything else doesn't work? We ask you, Lord, that we'll be quicker to seek you, quicker to seek your face, quicker to ask for help. You said we have not because we ask not. So, Lord, I pray that help me to ask quicker, 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 Lord, instead of later. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come to a part of our service that we call the anointing service. In James chapter 5, it says, is there any sick among you? Let them call on the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. If they commit any sins, they shall be forgiven of them.